Hello, everyone, on a beautiful March 5th, 2021, a Friday. This is the 236th episode of the Quarantine Cast, presented by Voluntary Viewing. And if you're surprised that you're hearing this before any music, guess what? We're doing some format changes. Yeah, it is a new era of the Quarantine Cast. All your dreams can come true in this era, so long as you manage to defeat your nightmares.
I don't know what to say to that.
Is that some Bravely
Default 2 shit, Lucas? Is that just bleeding into the podcast?
No, although I could just fucking go ham on what's currently happening in that game, though. But you're gonna save that for the breakouts in Voluntary Viewing coming this weekend. Keep an eye out.
Save some content for the main show.
Oh yeah, gotta keep them wanting more. All right, you prompted me with this. What's going on with Kings of Leon?
So you and I had a long conversation yesterday on the podcast about NFTs and memes, and what is currency and all that shit.
Yes.
And I saw yesterday that Kings of Leon were releasing their next album, which I forget exactly what it's called. Like, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
As an NFT, as a blockchain-linked token, so that you can buy it and then trade it if it's something you desire. And my first thought was, wow, like that's pretty cool. I should buy that and then maybe I can trade it around or something. And then as I was about to make my account on this service that would allow me to buy it, I stopped what I was doing and I thought, what the fuck am I doing here? I'm about to buy a Kings of Leon album so that I can sell it as a meme. What am I doing? What the fuck? Maybe if this was a different band, maybe if it wasn't Kings of Leon, but like, what? I'm not. First off, I don't think a Kings of Leon album is going to have long-term value. Second off, no, I'm not going to purchase this Kings of Leon album. I wouldn't have bought it before. I'm not going to buy it now. Maybe if it was, you know, a real band like King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Yeah. But Kings of Leon, you do not have the clout to do this. Maybe Queens of the Stone Age could do this, but they would never do this. They have self-respect. You don't, Kings of Leon. All of your songs, retroactively, bad now. Sex on Fire, bad. You Somebody, bad. Pyro, bad. Closer, bad. Beautiful War, bad. You are a bad band officially because of this. I could not name a single Kings of Leon song before I walked into this recording.
I know you. I'm sure you just Googled that, right?
Oh, absolutely. But they're all bad.
Yeah, bad. And the Kings of Leon has some decent music, but in what I wasn't expecting to be the hardest musical burn that I've ever heard in my entire life, I remembered an episode of New Girl, of all shows, that I saw like 7 or 8 years ago. And it was Schmidt, they're all weird, but it was one of the characters, Schmidt. He was like insulting this other character. He's like, your life has become stagnant. Like, you have no drive. You're the Kings of Leon of people. And he's like, wait, Kings of Leon? What does that mean? He's like, Kings of Leon, they've got some pretty good stuff, but their sound hasn't changed in 10 years. They're stagnant and they'll always be the same. I'm like, Jesus Christ, that is the hardest criticism of a band I've ever heard. And it stuck with me.
From a fucking Fox sitcom. Wow. Yeah. Oh, God. Fuck. We should say once again, Ryan's still on assignment. We're not going to get into it, but he has acquired a nice, it's either a jacket or a quarter zip, I'm not sure, but pretty much allows him to be on any lot in Hollywood without question, and he's just exploring that power. A little bit of a Ring of Gaijus situation going on. We'll talk to him about that.
He's making connections, spreading his influence. Next time he's on the podcast, I'm sure he'll be CEO of all media. You know, he's going to strike a merger between Viacom and Disney that nobody saw coming, and he's going to take all of that money. So that's what he's up to.
What? I can't think of the name of it. What was the bullshit? What was the bullshit vertical streaming service on phones?
Oh, Quibi.
Yeah, Ryan owns Quibi now. We're not going to get into it, but
oh man,
he has it.
Poor guy.
Trying to get rid of it. That's dumb. Kings of Leon is dumb. Why?
Quibi's dumb.
Also true.
But yeah, no, like that is dumb. And it's kind of like what I was saying. Like, I think this is the future. Like, I think I think that, you know, digital media is at some point going to be blockchain based kind of as a standard, and that in what is an online version of physical objects will become things that you can barter with. Obviously, you know, things like Top Shot and the meme NFTs and that kind of stuff, their sole purpose is to be traded. But I think we might be getting back into an era where the things you own are currency in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that. You know, like, oh, you know, I have this video game. I have it. It's on blockchain. I'm going to, you know, trade this in for a different one because somebody else, you know, wants to swap, or, you know, something like that. I think it's going to be a thing that happens. I'm not sure exactly the details, but, like, you know, Kings of Leon is not going to be the first band to release a blockchain album.
Right. And
I really don't want Kings of Leon to be the first blockchain album that I buy.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if, you know, it turns out there's any commercial value in doing this, that the music industry isn't going to just go full throttle on that, because that's just what that industry is now. They will do anything there to increase profits. Okay, cool. And I guess on an emotional level, I'm glad that this is happening to stuff that has maybe more inherent value. No, definitely more inherent value than just an internet meme is now being traded as a currency, or MOV files of basketball players are being traded as a currency. Because, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird, and I have complex, inconsistent feelings on this, but I'm just...
I know you do.
Frustrated. It's frustrating. Ah. What else we have going on? What else are we talking about today?
I started reading The Big Sleep by Raymond Chandler last night.
I've heard of that one. What's it about again?
It's like a detective story. It's okay. Like the hard-boiled detective shit. Raymond Chandler is one of the more famous authors back in that day, you know, late 30s, early 40s. And The Big Sleep, you know, also got picked up and turned into like a, you know, a noir film, you know, back in the day. It's one of the more famous detective movies that I've heard of. So I'm like, oh, I'll give it a try. Like, I have a 4-part collection of Raymond Chandler books that I just never got around to reading. I'm like, I want to finally read these. Half a page in, I realize I fucking read it before. And I just didn't remember. I read it like back in high school, but I don't remember what happens.
Oh.
I remember the opening scene, and I remember all that shit. I don't remember anything else from the book, because I'm like 40 pages in right now. Other than that first scene, I don't remember any of it.
Do you even remember liking it or not?
I do remember liking it.
Okay.
I remember, because like that scene stuck with me, the opening scene, but I don't remember the rest of it.
Wow, so you have walked into the natural situation of, would you give yourself amnesia to enjoy a piece of media for the first time again?
Yeah.
You're there, huh?
Yeah, I absolutely would. I couldn't tell you what the case was even about, mm-hmm. or how it ends, or who the characters are, any of that shit, but I distinctly remember reading this book where the detective, the first scene is him, at a mansion, he's talking shit to the butler.
Yeah.
The butler leads him into a room that's basically covered in tropical plants, and it's hot as hell. And there's this super old guy that's hiring him for a job. and he's super sick and like dying, and that's why everything's so hot, because his blood pressure is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he, like, you know, he's just, yeah, like on his deathbed, he's like, yeah, someone's trying to blackmail me. He's like, why do you even give a shit? And he's like, you clearly are about to die. He's like, I have pride. He's like, okay, man. He's like, you know what? Fine by me. And that's all I remember from the book.
What do you think it is about detective or murder mystery fiction that once a writer becomes attuned to that style of writing, they can just crank out a million of those fucking things?
Well, part of it's because I think that they're, at least back in the day, they were shorter.
Right.
Like, The Big Sleep is like 140 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a short novel.
Yeah.
And they were things that, you know, were published in magazines and, you know, other periodical papers. So, like, they were typically shorter. But, I mean, if you think about it, things like just murder mysteries,
mm-hmm.
the whole point of it is you have one concept, you know, you have one person who's trying to solve something that they don't know. You right. can insert, you can ad lib anything yeah. into that you want to and make a story.
It is a very solid, time-tested formula. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, anyone can write a detective story. I think I'm going to.
Hell yeah!
The other day, Jade and I were, like, we had Spotify on or something, and an ad came up for a podcast, like a story-based podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to get into the details because it's boring, and also I don't want to give away, like, what my idea for the story was. And I said, like, this thing is so overdone. And Jade said, what do you mean? I'm like, anyone can make a story out of this. It's like, okay, well, then you try. And I just ad-libbed a story over the course of, like, 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, this character does this. And then this happened. And woo, shocker, big reveal, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, you just fucking made up a whole story. I'm like, yeah, I got to go write this down. So as a joke, I came up with this idea because I was making fun of the concept. I'm like, you know what? I'll do it.
Mm.
But yeah, like, it's fun. It also, like, it gets the reader thinking. Like, you as the reader want to figure out what's happening. You know, it's, you're trying to piece it together. I took a class in college that was basically just entirely based around detective fiction.
That's right.
And the premise there is that a good, like, mystery story should not reveal what the truth is until the end, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But everything should be there in place so that if the reader was smart enough, they should be able to figure it out on their own.
It's
just that it's presented in a way where people won't figure it out until they're done. But it's one of those things where you can then go back and say, oh, fuck, I should have been able to see this. That's the big kicker, is that you as the reader are trying to figure it out and you can't. And then once it's revealed to you, you realize that all of the clues were there and you should have been able to figure it out.
I like the use of the word smart there. They are smart enough to do it. Not that they have watched enough episodes of Scooby-Doo that they know this narrative arc. They know right. how this is gonna, yeah.
Yeah, like, you, good ones avoid, like, tropes
mm-hmm.
while still keeping tropes.
Yeah.
It's I don't know, it's complicated. And I've tried before to, like, create like mystery structure in my head, and I can't do it very well. But, like, I think I'm finally getting the hang of it, kind of like jotting down my ideas of where this story is going to go.
Yeah. Detective Conan is one of the few manga, one of three manga actually ever to have more than 1,000 chapters, and it is, yeah, a serial mystery series. I haven't read it. I'm never going to be able to read it. But
is it all one mystery, or is it just like every issue is a new mystery?
Every couple of chapters, new mystery starts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The author of that has been banging those out since, God, maybe the 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. forever. One panel, though, that is just perfect and encapsulates how good they are at this writing. It's just a dead body in a snowfield with no footprints around. And it goes from there.
That's dropped it. Out of a helicopter.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think I've seen that panel, like, on Twitter. Yes. People, I've seen people post that for some reason.
It's a really good panel. Like, boom, instant intrigue. Instant, what the fuck is going on here? Beautiful.
It's some Fargo shit.
Yeah. Did you watch the new season of that?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I watched the first two episodes, and then the service that I was using to stream it was all fucked. So then I couldn't watch it anymore, and I didn't care enough to... Like, the first episode got me really intrigued. Like, the next two episodes, I'm like, okay, I don't care anymore.
How the mighty have fallen. Have you seen the last WandaVision?
No, I haven't. I was going to watch that tonight with Jade.
Okay. It's longer. It's longer than the other one, so plan for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, 44 minutes as opposed to the tight 26 they had been doing, which some people complained about that. I know a lot of people complained about that show being half-hour episodes and also week-to-week format. I don't understand that perspective whatsoever.
I don't either. I mean, for one thing, I think other Disney Plus shows have been that format as well. The Mandalorian was, I think, a little bit longer. The episodes were like 35, 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were released, you know, week-to-week format, because that's how you get people to stay watching, to stay on your platform. Otherwise, people are just going to do a trial, binge it all in 2 days, and delete it.
Yeah.
Also, like, I don't mind. Do I prefer to binge things? Not to the degree that some people do, but, like, do I prefer to be able to, like, watch an episode or two in a row just in my free time whenever I want? Yeah. But there's something to be said about a show that gets people back every week.
Yes.
And then they can talk about it the following week. And there's that anticipation. Like, okay, Friday night's coming up. You know what that means.
And especially for this series, which... three-fourths of it were extremely episodic in structure. This isn't something that's written to be sit down and watch it all in one go. It's, you can eat this up in half-hour chunks by design, and it does that to great effect.
Yeah.
I don't get people.
They'll complain about anything.
That's true.
They really will.
What are they, Pokemon fans?
Probably. probably.
I'm not going to say what outlet it is, but I saw a bigger gaming outlet is putting out a call for pitches, and I really just want to send them an article, a headline. Guys, Pokemon games have always looked bad.
Get over it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
All right. We're winding down a little bit, which means there's time for a clap sync and a migration to the wacky post roll. Welcome to the wacky post roll, everyone. If you noticed that the music that played was only 15 seconds, format changes! Era of dreams, baby! It's what we're about.
May all your dreams be memes.
So you can sell them in a blockchain and make money, apparently.
Why not?
Hope killing those nightmares was worth it. What's wacky? What the fuck is going on? What do we even have?
What even is wacky?
Gonna be a year into quarantine in like a week and a half, maybe longer for some people, and I still don't know when I'm getting a vaccine.
Well, I mean, supposedly by the end of May is when there should be enough doses for every adult in America. We'll see about that. I think that's a little optimistic, but maybe not too far away from that.
Also just, and I know it's different now. I know this is now more of a logistical problem than a human-invented problem, but just how all of the messaging has been throughout all of this, I think...
Logistical problems are human-invented.
I guess that's more, the problem is now, okay, we have a solution, how do we get this to people, and not, do we do anything about this, what do we do of the Trump administration's response, but I don't know, it's still my instinct for any time estimate for how long this is going to go on, or how long anything's going to get better, just to triple it.
Yeah.
That's where my expectations are at. I think I saw today, though, that the Senate is moving ahead with a relief plan, so checks are more likely to come now.
Well, they gotta send it back to the House now, because they did so much editing to the bill that the House passed up. So,
the House,
so now
they
have to send it back to the House, and the House are gonna have to debate it, and then maybe pass it, maybe do some more edits, send it back to the Senate. The Senate will probably do more edits after that, send it back to the House.
The House is a safer lock than the Senate, at least.
Probably.
I can't believe they had to wheel out Kamala Harris for a 51-50 vote on this thing.
Fucking
which,
God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are failed as a society.
Just abolish the electoral college. I keep saying that as though that'll instantly make everything better. I know it won't, but it'll help. Maybe.
Bunch of Democrats are just openly walking back everything that they were saying about raising the minimum wage. They're like, actually, raising the minimum wage would be bad for the same reason the Republicans have said. Because we are all shitheels.
I let myself hope. I let myself hope that there would actually be some kind of widespread student loan debt forgiveness. And
no,
that
no,
is...
Nope, not happening. Maybe one of these days we'll get a one-time $5,000 or $10,000 relief. They're not going to change the system.
That's all I'm asking for, honestly. And that's all I personally
need.
That's
not all I'm asking for. Sure, that's all we need.
Right.
At the end of the day, though, it doesn't... Like, I'm not going to just say, like, yeah, pay off my student debt specifically and then fuck everyone else.
I'm sorry. When I said that, I'm speaking more as, like, me as an individual. What do I want? What do I need? And not, like, me as, well, still an individual, but, like, a mindful person of society and the problems people as fortunate than I am are suffering. Yeah, they would benefit
and
far
also
more if just
people down the line and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only going to get more expensive. People are only going to keep racking up more student loan debt year after year.
And no one's willing to do anything about it because they don't care.
Or it's not profitable or popular for them to care, or that people are paying them off not to care. Or yeah, this is less wacky and more sad. Welcome to the sad post-roll, everyone.
Format changes.
we could not kill this nightmare. We are sorry. No more dreams coming true on this one. I think that's it. I think that's all we got. I think that's all we have for the week for the Quarantine Cast. Thank you all so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Send us your business opportunities and questions to voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. Check us out on YouTube and Instagram, putting up some highlight clips there, courtesy of Andrew and his killer Photoshop, technically GIMP skills, but come on, guys, it's pretty
one-to-one.
Please
don't call
them GIMP skills. Oh, man, this guy, you can't see it, but he is wearing just a pristine... Not a GIMP suit, a great shirt with a typewriter on it that a dear friend purchased for him. You can follow us on Twitter again. You always could, but now we're tweeting from it, at @V2_podcast. Twitter got its shit together, I guess. I don't know
Jack,
what was
Jack
happening
Jack thought
there.
He could take us down, but he couldn't.
Nah,
so
fuck
finally
you, Jack.
Jack has been owned by the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. So owned. Super owned.
You know, they say we should be gracious in victory, but eat shit, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back. V2 Podcast back on Twitter.
Woo! Also, be sure to check out our Patreon. And if you're feeling generous, support us. Have a lot of great tiers there where you can get rewarded, compensated. You're getting stuff out of this transaction besides funding this terrific show and voluntary viewing. And then, of course, check out the Act Blue link to support a collection of great progressive causes. And follow me at Lucas Dreider on Twitter to keep up with all of my writing, including a killer Chainsaw Man article I just wrote. How are we sending people into their weekends, Andrew?
Sad.
That's right. Start sad so it can only go up from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start sad. You'll have a great weekend. You'll feel on top of the world.
Fuck yeah. Thank you all for tuning in, and good luck out there.